The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here at 710 KNUS, hour number 2, 7 a.m. as we head into the 10 o'clock hour when Charlie Kirk will take over for us. We go to a guy named Prager, Gorka, and then Deb Floor at 3 o'clock to 4, and then 4 to 7 is our friend Stephen Tubbs. And then you get the weekend, folks. You get all the weekend hosts that we have out there. Jimmy, Pete, 9 to noon back in the saddle. Randy thereafter, Dr. Dunn. You can just keep it tuned to 710 all day. One other thing you're going to want to do this weekend, though, while you've got 710 playing in the background, is participate in something called the MC1 Honor Ride. You know, we had the sheriff of Jefferson County, Jeff Schrader, on the radio yesterday to talk about it. Pleased to be joined on the line right now by a friend, although I have not seen him in many, many years, Paul Smoker. Paul, how are you?
Good morning, George. Great. How are you doing?
Good. Couple things. You have an honorary title with this great organization, the MC1 Honor Ride, but you're also still in law enforcement. Tell us about each of them.
Well, I'll give you this, George. I retired actually 2 years ago from law enforcement after a 34-year career.
Paul, that's not possible.
Fabulous.
It's not possible. Because when I saw you last, you were still a young man.
Well, thank you, George. And I'm going to say I still am a young man. So... Back in 2014, George, when Sergeant Dave Baldwin was unfortunately taken from us on an on-duty motorcycle accident, he was hit head-on on Highway 93. A group of us, just absolutely loved the man and started doing a motorcycle ride. And that motorcycle ride was called the MC1, and that was his call sign. And we took it from there and moved forward. We've been doing it about 9 years now, and... basically, what we do is we help officers that have been injured in the line of duty. And those can be firemen, those can be police officers. We've helped a lot of people, and we're in our ninth year.
Buddy, this is getting bigger, it feels like, every year. And maybe I'm just more attuned to it, but how many folks participate in this? What do you expect this year?
You know, we shoot for about 500 motorcycles. At minimum, we've been higher numbers. We've had lower numbers, but it has grown. We took over the Emily's ride when those kind folks gave us their date to quit doing it, and we've really just tried to power through it and make it better each every year.
When you do it, it takes place. Usually, starts off in Columbine High School, which makes total sense. But then it doesn't always go to the same place, does it? I remember. Well, actually, there was one time we started. Maybe it was near Columbine. I think it was near Columbine, but it wasn't right at the high school. I can't remember where I picked up the ride, but is it always the same ride every year?
Well, George, it's a great point. Our starting point has always been the same, Columbine High School, for, like you said, obvious reasons. It used to go to a bar called the Hofbrau, that parking lot.
That's
we kind of
right.
Outgrew it, unfortunately. Yep.
That's
we,
right.
Ken out there, the owner of Hofbrau, did us a really good job for many, many years. And then the Summit came along. The Summit on 104th is now our, I'm sorry, it's 144th Avenue in Thornton. The Summit helps us out. They've been helping us out. I believe it's been 3 years now. Being retired, I'm slightly pulled away, but I'm back in town and very much motivated to get it done this year again. So it's up at the Summit every year now. We have ride maps. MC1Foundation.com will get you to our link to registration in the maps. You can do a nice leisurely ride from Columbine, excuse me, up to 144th, and we have a great time.
Now, I know that you do this for the right reasons, and you want as many people to turn out as possible. But I think you acknowledge, too, not everybody either has the bike or the time or the ability to get out there. How can folks make a difference with this organization if they can't make it?
Absolutely. So that MC1Foundation.com will link you to our webpage that you can make online donations. We even have it set up where we can have reoccurring donations, which many people out of the kindness of their heart supporting law enforcement and first responders have done that. They contribute monthly. You can do it one time. You can find us on the web, send us a check, whatever. You can come out to Columbine. We have registration stuff. We sell swag. We have T-shirts. We have bracelets. We have beanies, hats, all sorts of stuff. We'll also be up at the summit with some other vendors. But we do sell a little bit of merchandise on ride day.
I refuse to believe you're retired. I'm still processing that.
Well, thank you, my friend. I got to tell you, it's been a good ride. I actually took a part-time job at a car wash, which I'm standing in front of talking to you now.
Right on. That's fantastic. Paul, and Annette's doing well.
She is. She told me to tell you hi, so thank you so much for
that. Tell Annette I said hi to two of the best out there in Jefferson County. Paul
Smoke, my friend.
His wife, Annette. Fantastic. Thanks for doing this, and hopefully it's a huge success tomorrow. I can't be there, but I will be figuring out a way to get online and contribute.
George, thank you so much. We appreciate you and everything your people do. At MC1.com, foundation.com, please. Come out to Columbine. Come out to the summit. We'd love to have everybody.
Thanks, Paul. That was great. That was Paul Smoker, formerly with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. I can't believe it's been 33 years. That's just crack smoke crazy. I appreciate him calling in for this. We're also going to have Frank DeAngelis. I think at some point, Billy, is that in the 8 o'clock hour that we're going to have Frank? We'll have the, you know, America's Principal there to talk about this as well. But in the meantime, I wanted to get back to our phone calls at 303-696-1971. I know there's a line open there, but we're going to get to Jim. Jim, you're on 710. What do you think?
Hey, George. Yeah, yesterday I think I kind of you said something about you'd like somebody to say one thing that Donald Trump has ever done that wasn't for Donald Trump. Well, I got to tell you, I appreciate Donald Trump. I really do. I mean, this guy, he has it made. He's a millionaire or billionaire, whatever you want to call him, living the life. He didn't need all this. He did all this not for him and certainly not for his family, maybe for his grandchildren so they'll have a country. But Donald Trump did what he did. I mean, there's videotape of him telling Oprah he doesn't want to run years and years ago. But the incompetence of our leaders and our career politicians, he's like, I may have to run. And that's the only reason he ran. And when you look at the complete and total dysfunction of how our government is ran, hey, I thank God for Donald Trump. He may not be a perfect human being, but I'll tell you, he's the best damn president of my lifetime. And he didn't do it for himself. He had it made. You know, he goes, he takes the crap, and look what his family has gone through. It'd be very easy for him to take his millions, go over to Scotland and play golf, or take it and just live the life. You know, Rush Limbaugh called the shot on Donald Trump. Rush Limbaugh is a very smart man. And when he said it, I didn't really understand what he was saying, but he was saying, don't make any mistake. They do not want Donald Trump. They don't want some billionaire coming in here, ruining their party and telling them how the country's going to be ran. He's a very common sense guy. He's a great business guy. And I appreciate Donald Trump. And I wish people would realize what he's given up instead of constantly saying it's all about him. My God, all about him. He's built buildings and brands, and he could do anything he wants. But instead, he takes crap from this gal in New York. Crap. I mean, seriously, there's not even a problem. No banks were defrauded. No money wasn't repaid. But he goes through that. He goes through the fact that he's peeing on prostitutes in the Steele dossier. I mean, what more does a guy have to do? He does this for one reason. He loves America. And he appreciates what America gave him. And people need to stop and realize nobody's perfect. There was one, Jesus Christ. But people like you, George, and other people would say, well, Jesus Christ only did it because he knew he was going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the way you get. There's got to be something in it for Jesus. He took that beating because he knew he was going to be going to the throne of God. For crying out loud, give the guy some freaking credit. He did an awesome job with our economy. Our soldiers weren't being killed. He was creating peace in the Middle East. America was prospering. And all people can do is, well, not all people, but a good a good 35% of the people is bitch about him.
Jim,
my God, what do you want?
Do you feel this? Would you feel the same way when Jared Polis runs for president? That he's doing
it out of his selfless.
Well, he's doing it out of his selfless love for the country. He doesn't
need it.
Guys, Jim, hang on.
Okay.
He's got hundreds of millions of dollars. He didn't need to run for the school board. He didn't need to run for president. Guy could have gone to Scotland and played golf or done whatever he wanted to do. Do you feel the same way about him? Go ahead.
No, because Jared Polis hasn't done things for the country. He hasn't done things to make people's lives better. He's done things to make people's lives worse.
No, But if he runs for president, Jim, you would acknowledge that that was a selfless act. If Jared Polis runs for president, you will say that is a selfless act because he doesn't need to do it. He's already rich.
Well, you know, I would say in Donald's case, in Jared Polis' case, I think he wants to duct his thing. He wants. I don't know what's embarrassing. Maybe you could even say that. But maybe you could say it's a selfless act. But I'm just telling you, Donald Trump didn't do this for Donald Trump. My God, he's the only president, George, who did all this. He takes all this crap. He fights all these lawyers. He gets sued for everything. And he didn't even take a salary.
I appreciate that your sentiment is that because this guy didn't have to do it, he'd already had a comfortable lifestyle, that he got nothing from it. Let's be clear. This is a guy who starts and stops with his ego. 100%. That's probably what made him a successful businessman, too. But the idea that running for president was a step down from the life he was living is crazy, man. He becomes the most powerful person on the planet. Hang on, Jim. He becomes the most powerful person on the planet. He elevates his name ID above and beyond where it was. And if he has to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune to deal with that, he's totally willing to do it. And he's a guy who continues to say, it doesn't faze me, I don't care, doesn't bother me, I'm going to keep moving forward. But I don't know of a single person that runs for office that's like, man, I really don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to. Whatever motivations people have for running. And I believe there can be motivations. Hey, I want to do great for my country, and I think I can do better than others. I think it's my time. I can believe all of that stuff. What I cannot fathom, not for this guy, is this idea that everything was a matter of, I love America so much, I'm just going to give it up. Here's a guy that loved America so much, he said, I'm going to run, but on my terms. I'm not going to give you my tax returns. I refuse to comply with whatever the historical precedent has been set by other people, because this is too important to me to save America. And then when he leaves office, he takes a bunch of classified top secret documents for reasons, Jim, if he took them because he loved America, I'd love to hear about it. And then says, I don't have to comply with the law because I'm the president of the United States, or I was. Those are not the words
of
someone whose sole motivation. Jim, those are not the words of someone whose sole motivation is to serve the country.
As far as the tax returns, my God, the guy has multiple tens, I don't know how many businesses he has, hotels and things. When you get into a tax return like Donald Trump's, my gosh, I've owned my own business for, 30 years now. And you get into a tax return like that, he doesn't need to show his tax returns. We have a thing called the IRS. We have audit. If they want to come audit it, they can. And you know what? He has been audited. But when you turn tax returns over to people, they can bend and twist those to anything you want.
So
just
it sounds like what you're saying,
York.
Jim, is no presidential candidate or anyone should ever turn over tax returns. Nobody should.
If Congress passed a law, that's fine, and they knew that going in that they have. But the facts are, no, it doesn't matter to me. His tax returns are his business. You want to audit him, and the IRS wants to audit him, they are perfectly free to do that. But his tax returns are not my business. He's been audited, George. He's been audited multiple tens of 20 times because of his businesses. And you know what? You know how many days he spent in jail over it? None. Now, has he maybe had to pay a fine? I don't know. I had to pay a fine. I didn't do anything I thought was illegal. But it turns out, hey, I made a mistake.
I understand
so
the administrative thing can be coercive. But, Jim, let me ask you, outside of the decision to run for president for no personal gain at all is what you're telling me, that this was purely about, I love America so much I have to run for president. Other than that selfless
act. Yes, I truly believe that.
I don't. While he was the president of the United States, Was there anything he did to reaffirm for you that his sole motivation was just America? It wasn't him?
Because I'll tell you one thing. I think there's a lot of things. I mean, he takes prominent people like that Grinnell guy and, you know, first homosexual. He's put more women in his cabinet. He doesn't do things for that. He does things that are good for the country, not that are good for Donald Trump. And, you know, that one guy Grinnell said.
Not good for Donald Trump. Grinnell, it wasn't good for Donald Trump to do the things you just said.
Well, it's just because something's good for the country and it's good for Donald Trump doesn't make it wrong. I mean, just because I do something,
if I give money
to somebody.
I'm looking for every single turn. This guy had an opportunity to make a decision that would reflect a commitment to something bigger than himself. He always chose himself.
No, he chose the country. That's just a lie, George. And George,
it's not
do you
a lie,
believe
buddy.
That Donald
it may
Trump
be,
is
it may be an opinion
lost?
With which you disagree, no, but it's not a lie. A lie would suggest that I know it's false and I'm saying it anyway. I don't know that it's false. I believe it to be true, buddy.
So tell me, do you think Donald Trump is the reason? All right, fine. In my opinion, you're wrong. Okay?
Okay.
He does. He's done many, 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 many things for this. Now, how about the people like those people that they brought this up when he was running? And they would bring people in who worked for him. Their kids had cancer. Their kids need surgery. Their kids need whatever. And he comes to bat for these people. But no, he doesn't run around bragging about it to everybody. You know, Jesus said something about that, too. Those people who like to do things out in front so everybody sees it. And God said, well, you've received your reward in full. You got all the praise from the people here on earth. But, you know, when you get to heaven, it's the people who do things that they don't go running around advertising everything they've done. And tell me this, George.
Donald Trump is the truly dedicated Christian.
He's lived
the life of a truly dedicated Christian. That's your opinion.
You know what? No, I don't say that. And neither have I, George. And neither have you.
I guarantee we all fall short.
We all fall short. So
but you're holding him up
Donald
to be
Trump
this
to
this
deity.
Paragon based
no,
on
I'm
this.
Not.
And by the way, if he were to have given money to some kid to pay for their kid, I think that is a great example of something he did.
He does it all
as
the time.
As Donald Trump. That was bigger than himself. I would agree with that. I just haven't seen anything in his conduct or presidential life that suggests that he is capable of sacrificing himself for a greater good. And running for office, man, that ain't it. Whatever sacrifice it is, is driven as much by ego as a desire to do good. You're never going
to
disprove that with anyone in office.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Well, the record speaks for itself. And then, George, you can look at your dislike or your Trump delusion or whatever it is you have about Trump.
I have no – buddy, delusion sounds like it's not based in fact or reality. You can disagree, but to call it delusion is to try to dismiss it just without having to take it on.
Do you think that Trump was responsible for you losing to Phil Weiser? Is it Donald Trump's fault?
I wouldn't say his individual fault, but his presence – His informal presence on the ballot was a difference maker in Colorado up and down the ballot, no doubt about it.
Right. But so it wasn't bad candidates. The other day when you said the reason maybe we don't win elections in Colorado is because we have bad candidates. You said that we have bad candidates.
I said I like our candidates.
The ones we currently have, but with the guy who ran for governor against Polis,
Jim,
I forget his name.
You're thinking of Peter, who says we don't have good candidates. That's not me. That's a different host.
No. Okay, well, the other day when I heard you, because you said it to me, when I said, I believe we're a more conservative state than you believe, you said, because I brought up the proposition where it was a very conservative thing, it won overwhelmingly, but then all of our candidates lost. You said, because we didn't have good candidates. Now, that's what you go back and get your tape. That's what you said, George.
I don't need to get back my tape to help you prove what you're accusing me of. The bottom line is I haven't said we have bad candidates. I think we're pretty fortunate to have the candidates that we have running for statewide office.
Cory Gardner was a great senator, but he didn't win. So, I mean, something's going on in Colorado. I truly believe there's something going on in Colorado.
Sure. Changing demographics, changing voter registration, but there's no doubt president. And by the way, man, do you believe that he lost by 16 points in 2020? Do you believe he lost by double digits in Colorado?
No, huh? I would say I don't believe I am not sold on Colorado being as blue as everybody says it is. And hey, yeah, I tried to prove
what
it.
Happened in 2020.
People say ballots are checked. What happened in 2020?
Yeah, how did he lose by such a devastating number? How did he lose by such a devastating number?
Well, I truly believe we, you know, I'd like to really delve into that. I really would like to find out. I'd like to look at the, I would like to look at certain counties and find out exactly what went
on. I don't know. Are you trying to get to, I don't trust the election system in Colorado? Is that what you're getting to? I don't believe it was on the up and up.
No, I don't. I do not.
Well,
so then
the answer to the question, why did you lose, for you isn't because of Donald Trump. You think I lost because I was cheated by the election system.
I believe there's a good chance of that, and I don't believe Colorado's doing an even an adequate chance job of checking it. Hey, I filled out my ballot the other day, the last time we voted. I completely missigned my signature, and I know I can go to jail, and I committed a felony. And you know what I heard? Not a single word. My ballot was signed, and so what? You know what? Yeah, you know, that's what people would do, too. Somebody does that, and they'll come in and say, oh, my God, he committed a crime. Instead of saying, well, why didn't you catch it? You're supposed to, you know, George, there is no checking. And when people say, I'm going to check every ballot.
I know that's not true. I've watched it happen. I was standing in the election ballot counting area when it happened, observing it.
And you saw people checking those signatures based on their driver's license.
I did. I saw them sitting at these monitors, running them through and comparing them to the thing on file. Yeah, I watched it. Watched it happen.
Okay, well. All I can tell you is I'd be willing to bet you steak dinner that we find 100 people to mistype their ballot. Like, none of them will hear anything.
Jim, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the conversation on it, man. I'm sorry I got to cut away for a break here, but it took you a little bit long, mostly, Jim, because I was intrigued by the conversation and we'd had Paul on at the beginning. Before we cut away and come back again with more conversation with you at 303-696-1971, maybe it's going to end up being a free-for-all Funky Friday, if only because cannot seem to get any of these topics stuck to, but people want to talk. Well, that's what Fridays are for, man. Let's have the conversation. Give us a call, 303-696-1971. If you've got a topic that we covered this week that you're like, dang, I didn't get a chance to chime in, but I heard it on the pod, then call in. Take me on this. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you about an attorney that can help you out a ton. And no, not if you've forged your ballot or done some sort of voter fraud thing. Not that kind of an attorney. An attorney that says, hey, if you've been catastrophically injured, your life has been inalterably changed for the worse because of someone else's negligence or recklessness, you got to have a champion in your corner. That champion is Dan Kaplis. Dan and his firm of hard-charging trial attorneys and proven trial attorneys. I should tell you that. You're going to call up a bunch of folks if you start going through the list of personal injury attorneys out there, and every single one of them is going to tell you, oh, yeah, yeah, I go to trial. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've gone to trial. Say, tell me your top five. Tell me your top five outcomes and over what period of time. You are very quickly going to whittle that list down to a guy named Dan Kaplis and a guy named Dan Kaplis, because five consecutive multimillion-dollar verdicts. Plus, he and Babar Wahid, a partner of his, who I did his first trial with him 100 years ago, biggest verdict against a trucking company in the history of the state of Colorado. They have proven results. So if you need folks that can take your case and get you as much justice as our limited system can get for you after something horrible happens to you or a loved one, you got to call Dan Kaplis. It's easy to pick up the phone and dial the number that he's always had. Just remember, talk is cheap, the experience counts, the results matter. 303-907-5003, 303-907-5003, or you can visit him at dankaplislaw.com. Kaplis is C-A-P-L-I-S, dankaplislaw.com. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Going right back to the phone lines with the time that we have. Ben, you're on 710. Ben, what do you think?
I'm just trying to figure out what is wrong with Trump supporters. Like, they can't seem to figure out some basic things. It's like their stupidity just knows no depths. Like, listen to that last caller. Like, yeah, the election wasn't stolen. We can figure that out. He's talking about Trump being this person you know, anointed by God. And he's a morally reprehensible person who is the antithesis of everything Christian. I mean, listen to Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor. Donald Trump has always been self-serving. He's a narcissist. He's pretty just a repugnant individual. So
Ben,
you can agree with his policies.
That even if he had a personality that rubs people the wrong way, and I'm not saying everybody, but at least enough voters that it's a difference maker, would you accept that he has done great things as president, that he was an effective president on a lot of different levels, the economy being one of them?
I think presidents get a little bit too much credit with the economy. For example, like right now, I think if inflation was going on, he would be blaming someone else, but he would still have similar levels of inflation that Biden is having because it's going globally. Yeah, it's going globally. I have friends in Belgium. I have friends in Spain. I have friends in Argentina. And they're all dealing with inflation like the same as we are. I talk with them, and they're like, yeah, it's we're having supply chain issues. So I don't think it would be a whole lot different.
Well, the supply chain issues are in part a function of global response. There's no doubt about it. But we dumped trillions of dollars into our economy and, by extension, the world economy that we just said, hey, everybody, just keep spending your pants off. And that was really, wasn't that the spark that lit everything on fire? I mean, the supply chain issue may be a legitimate drag on getting out from under it, but man, the fire was started by us.
Yeah, and Donald Trump signed two of those bills.
There's no doubt that he was a big proponent of trying to get cash into the system, but it's kept going. Like, we have done nothing to stop it. Like, it never ends. Do you think he'd have done the same thing?
Yeah, if Donald Trump had been elected, his next bailout was supposed to be, or his next COVID bailout was supposed to be $2,000. He was trying to put more than Biden did when he did that. I guess you could argue.
What do you think about
the
immigration
bill.
Issue? Do you feel like the immigration issue was mishandled by Trump, and that the reason we're getting 2 million people across the border now is because?
No, I think he did. I think he did a fairly good job on immigration, but I do think he did some fairly immoral things, putting the, you know, the kids in cages and the child separation policy, which got corrected later on down the line. But I don't think that
was
a moral
policy
thing.
That was inherited from Obama. I don't think he invented any of that stuff. I think that was their practice beforehand.
But that's a very big misconception that a lot of people, especially on the right, make, because when Obama was implementing that, it was a situation where if they felt the kid was not legally like a member of that family, that's when they would get separation issue ordered. With Trump, it was a blanket policy where any kid was coming over was getting separated. Yeah, so there's a big difference between those two things.
I don't know enough about either of those things. You would agree, too, that in terms of energy independence and energy exploration and development, there's really no question that Trump had us in a much better position than Biden does.
Biden's actually released more leases for oil and gas than Trump ever did.
Leases don't matter if you're constantly tied up in court and the government's rolling over to stop fighting all the people trying to keep you from getting permitted and in the ground. You know that. The lease isn't the most important piece.
He's issued more than Trump did, which is, I guess that goes into the judiciary.
With the EPA, the permissive policies of allowing these NGOs to show up and sue the pants off of the government, and then they play dead while they deal with it. And man, you can't believe that Biden's approach to energy independence for America, even with fossil fuels, was anywhere near what it was under Trump. You can't tell me that he's more permissive of fossil fuels than Trump was.
I'm not going to say that, but I think it's something that we need to move forward towards, is getting a little bit more energy independent with green energy.
Maybe it'll happen over time. But what I don't want to do is have the economy crater and people put out of their cars because someone like a Newsom in California has decreed that by some arbitrarily chosen date, his entire state needs to be off of fossil fuel driven cars. I mean, that doesn't make any sense for America. I'm not even sure it would work for the world. They can't do it either. But Ben, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks, man. Hey, Billy, I know we have another caller or two on the line. I just can't see the screen at this point. Who else we? Larry, you're on 710 KNUS. Larry, what do you think?
Hey, yeah. I'm calling, and also this is not being about a Democrat or just a Republican, but I'm just really concerned for America. It's like I'm listening to people, and they're talking about, really, we need to be aware of a person, especially if they're president, they're running for office, if they externalize everything, anything comes their way, it's always something outside of them. That's a very dangerous thing. And also, I feel like Mr. Trump, I can't believe it. This guy is an athletic liar. And that's proven. He's an athletic liar. He's a very gifted man. And then what it is, when people do good with their gifts, they do wrong with their gifts. He's able to get people to come around him. He also is a Barnum and Bailey. He gives the people what they want. And also, my uncle told me, when I was about 4.5, 5 years old, my uncle used to always do this thing, and he would do this thing with me. I never understood. He said, and he would have a quarter. He said, heads I win, tails you lose. Huh. And you can get the quarter. I could never get the quarter. And I just never understood that. And then later on, he said, always watch out for that. And with Donald Trump, it's like heads he win, tails you lose. You know, and it's always, you know, it's amazing. And I look at Donald Trump and what he did, what's really going to resonate with me. Now, there's these Republicans who really believed in him. And I don't think nobody could get closer to the right than Jeff Sessions. And when you're talking about Ted Cruz, you're talking about Rubio, but Jeff Sessions championed that guy. And all Jeff Sessions did was, I can't go that far. And when he couldn't go that far, he destroyed a strong, I didn't never like Jeff Sessions, but a strong Republican guy. And what Donald...
Uh-oh, Larry, you there? Larry, I'm sorry somehow we lost you. I'm not sure who it was that clipped you there. I'll go right to the text. Someone texted in. What's interesting is that other people are keeping Trump in the limelight. Mar-a-Lago lawsuit from, what's her name up in the Attorney General, not Trump himself. What utter garbage. That's not true. He's the one that signaled to the planet Earth the FBI is trying to search my house without anybody knowing. He's the one that brought the attention on. He's the one that's going to the media coming up with all of these new explanations, which are, I declassified everything the moment I thought about it. And, oh, by the way, maybe the FBI planted it in a room that didn't have a camera. Maybe they planted the stuff that I declassified back when I left the White House. That's not true. He's the only person who has taken arrows directly in the heart, George. He's not bought and paid for like most politicians. I agree with that. I don't think he's beholden to anybody else because nobody else is as good and powerful as he is. He's beholden to himself, but that comes with an expense, and that expense is the law, justice, the idea that there's any sort of normalcy that takes place anymore with government. I mean, this idea that he is going to trash the FBI, not just the leadership who participated in the Russia hoax stuff, but he's going to trash a 35,000-member agency and try to suggest that they planted evidence in his pro shop out in Mar-a-Lago, where he had taken documents that he had not declassified and certainly never acted like he declassified them until they searched for him. That guy, that's the dude that's so pure. Here's one. Can't you say that about all politicians? None doing anything for so. I absolutely believe. Let me be clear. Every single politician, me included, has ego as part of the analysis of running for office. You cannot step into that political wood chipper, that cage fight, you can't do any of that unless you got a healthy dose of ego. And anybody that tells you otherwise is full of crap. They're pretending to be something that they're not. But this guy's ego is writing checks we can't cash. He's going to burn down the Department of Justice over the way that they're approaching him. Now, Letitia James or whatever her name is up in New York, I'm very skeptical of that lawsuit. But this, and here's what it comes down to, and I can read this from the text. There's no middle road with Donald Trump. There are either people that absolutely hate him and they send those texts in or they call in, or there's people that feel like he is infallible and every blemish must be defended. And because of the things that he's done on behalf of the country by God, he needs to be protected by us. Come on. How about bone spurs? Does that bother anybody? Bone spurs? Maybe it's legit. You believe that? You believe that when everybody else to his right and his left is getting a draft card that he just happened to luck out with the bone spurs? I don't know the answer. I really don't. But it's coincidental. Here's one. It's also your opinion. Yeah, of course it's my opinion. Here's one. There was one. Callers Jim and Ben are the same. Trump can do no wrong and Trump can do no right. Hacks. Well, that's sort of what I just said there. Trump is definitely unconventional by the normal political standard. However, while in office, he did some wonderful things, particularly in reference to the economy and foreign policy. I like all those things that he's done. He's been persecuted and prosecuted. Well, he hasn't been prosecuted for years. He's been persecuted for years. Now, outside the bounds of normal political dialogue, I'm not one to question his ego. Obviously, as you indicated, ego is an important part of who he is, like all of us. Yeah, I just think his is larger and more dominating for his personality than anybody I've ever known before. And maybe that's why he's great at business. Maybe that's why he got some good things done. But the dude that said inject hydrogen peroxide into your veins or whatever it was, come on, man. I mean, there's got to be some recognition that this dude's willing to say or do almost anything off of emotion or at the drop of a hat and then runs away from it if it doesn't work out and fully embraces it if it does. I mean, I'm not saying that isn't a politician, but let's stop pretending that this guy was the purest, bestest. My God, Jim said he's the best president of my lifetime. Unless Jim was born in 1989, he's just thrown Ronald Reagan under the bus. Trump was better than Ronald Reagan? I don't think so. 303-696-1971. Ton of texts. There may be callers on the line. We're going to cut away for a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by our friends at Alpine Planning. They're going to let us know what's going on this last day of the week of September. Stay right here. George Brockman on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Little JB here on 710 KNUS, Freaky Friday. George, well, Funky Friday. George Brockler with you here on 710. It's that time of the show where we get to be made smarter on all things financial. Yes, the markets, I think, are open today, even though my kids don't have school. To help us have that conversation is Gabe from Alpine Planning. Gabe, I thought Judge was going to do it last night at that last at-bat. I don't know if you watched the game, but he jacked that thing 404 feet only to be caught out at straightaway center.
Yep. What was it when that Roger Maris was going for his, the wind were blowing all the balls backwards, you know what I mean? You can't beat the Babe.
Dude got three walks out of the Red Sox, and I think the Red Sox dread the idea that he's going to make history off their pitchers. But that jack that he hit, Gabe, I'm starting to say, I'm like, oh my God, he did. And then I find out that in 13 other major league parks, that would have been a home run. Dude hit the ball off the bat 113 miles an hour. Incredible.
It's such a weird park, too. But happy Friday to you, George.
Happy Friday. And speaking of guys who keep crushing it, Gabe, let us know what's going on with financial markets.
Happy Friday to you, not so happy Friday for the markets. The hemorrhaging is sort of continuing post the remarks when we actually spoke last on Wednesday. George, currently have the Dow down 387, NASDAQ is down 204, and the S&P is off 64. Essentially, what's come
by the way, that sucks, just for folks that don't know how the numbers work. I think what you're saying is that sucks.
Yes. We're actually getting down to those, year-to-date lows that we experienced in June, sort of retesting those right now. So the next few weeks is definitely going to be very, very important. You're starting to see some of the banks lower their price target for the S&P 500. And the big reason for that is, George, is not necessarily the 75 basis point hike that we had on Wednesday, which most people were expecting. But it was sort of the details of the remarks from Fed Chair Powell. You and I have been sort of speaking about how we think sort of the terminal rate on them raising is kind of in that 3.5-4% range. Right now we're at 3 to 3.25%. Wow. But he sort of opened the door to going up above 4.5%. And I think a lot of people weren't expecting that. So you're starting to see some repricing, as we sort of discussed on Wednesday, due to that fact. Now, I would say the one silver lining, and I was actually just talking to Billy about this, buying a new car, is the biggest things that have sort of been adding to inflation, namely energy, housing, used car prices, food, obviously. A lot of those are just naturally getting alleviated right now, especially energy and housing, which are the interest rate sensitive market. So hopefully what we're hoping for in the fourth quarter is the September inflation report comes in lower, so the Fed can sort of take their foot off the gas pedal, so to speak.
How many times do they meet between now and the end of the year, Gabe?
So they have two more meetings, I believe, November and December. And so we'll see what happens. Right now, I think they'll still end the year at that 4 range, maybe 4.5 if they do it twice. But you really never know. That this whole, coy responses will be data dependent, right? If the September inflation report comes in much lower than expected, I think they will be data dependent on that, and maybe we'll get a 25 or a 50 basis point hike as opposed to 75. But really, it's what's going on with the economy. They say they're trying to strangle the band to get inflation lower, and that's really their mandate, and the markets aren't liking it right now.
Oh, Gabe, I know when you talk to us next week, two things will be true. Things are going to be better with the market, and Aaron Judge will have made history. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. As always, investing is a matter of trust, and they're prepared to earn yours. Call them today. Amy, Brian, Gabe, the whole team, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Gabe, have a great weekend, man.
You as well, sir.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
There are texts. That's all I can get to before we run out of time. You're going to start to hear the music. But what I want to do is read you some of the stuff. What I mean is, I don't think Trump comes looking for trouble, but the left and some of the right, including the media, bring it to his doorstep, so he responds accordingly. He doesn't need to keep his name at the forefront because it's being done for him. Yeah, but he loves to be part of the conversation. Let's see what he does here. If he announces he's running for president before the November vote, man, then you'll know the answer right there. Stick around. We're going to be joined right after this by the America's Principal. It's George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.